Hi, everyone, and welcome back to For the Curious and Confused, a podcast for people who want to understand different perspectives of the world through the people who inhabit it. I'm your host, Dom McTaggart, and today I'm joined by Kevin Palmieri and Alan Lazarus. Kevin and Alan are the co-founders of Next Level University, a podcast dedicated to holistic discussions around mindset, relationships, self-worth, and related topics. Both Kevin and Alan have been shaped by struggles in their personal lives, and these struggles have helped fuel their mission to create more meaningful conversations around holistic self-help. One of the most impressive things about Next Level University is they publish a new episode every single day, which sounds so hard to a newbie like me, but it's amazing that you're both so committed. And I believe that you have over 2,000 published episodes at the time of this recording. So thank you both for being here today, and I'm really excited to hear about the journeys you've been on.
Go ahead, Alan.
Oh, okay, I
It's
didn't know
always
if Kevin
weird
was
at the
going to
beginning, Don, because we don't know. We got to get a cadence here in the
go.
beginning.
Don, great opening. Thank you for having us. I genuinely, and I try to anything that's aligned, I try to sandwich it in gratitude, because I try to remember back when 10 years ago I started listening to podcasts, and they really helped me reorchestrate my life in a much more constructive direction. And now we're podcasters, and I think that what people are paying attention to is very much dictating their future. So it's an honor. Thank you for having us. And I'm very much looking forward to a meaningful conversation, because I think conversations change lives. And we can talk about why that is. Kev's probably laughing right now, because Conversations Change Lives was the name of the podcast that I had him on. And then his was Hyperconscious, which is to be acutely aware. And I was his first guest. He was my first guest. It's kind of where this whole thing started. So we love what you're doing. We've been there, and we are rooting for you, my friend.
I was gonna say this, and I'm gonna sound like an old man, and I do not mean it in any condescending way. Don, you remind me a lot of me when I started this journey. So we've done okay. And I think you can do wonderful things too. And I'm excited to see the future for
Oh, that sounds great. Thank you. This is a great start so far. Yeah.
you.
And the first question I have prepped up with a choosing one of you to answer first. So I should have put that in the intro also. But anyway, here we go. So maybe could you first, each of us, give us maybe a 2-minute introduction to who you are and what motivates you? Maybe we could start with Alan on this one.
Okay. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. 36
Some air
years
there.
condensed.
Take a little more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
Maybe more or less either
be
way.
careful, brother. I'll go 15. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No, I'll try to do 2 minutes. So, the shortest possible version, 36 years in 2 minutes, would be birth father passed away when he was 28, when I was two. That was a tough start. Stepfather came into my life from age 3 to 14, left my family at 14. Went from sort of boats and ski trips in the mid to late 90s, early 2000s, to I get free lunch at school now because our income is so low. Born and raised in Massachusetts. And I had a dream to go to college. And I realized once my stepdad left, no generational wealth, no trust fund. We're in trouble, no dad. And I bootstrapped my way through high school. I got straight A's through all of high school. I got all the financial aid and scholarships I possibly could. I got into my dream college, WPI, Worcester Polytechnic Institute. It's like a mini MIT. I actually spoke there several times in the last couple of months, which is cool. And I got to go. It was $50,000 a year back then. Fast forward, I did the traditional, my original road was preschool, kindergarten, middle school, high school, college, corporate. And I was a broke high school and college student. So when I got the corporate, I rose very, very quickly. I did very, very well. 65 to 85, 85 to 105, 105 to 125, 125 to 180. And I was used to being broke after my stepdad left. So for me, it was wild. Paid off 84 grand worth of college debt in a single year, 150 grand in a Vanguard account, picked all the tech company stocks and ETFs. And I did very, very well. And then I got in my car accident, 26 years old, 10 years ago. That's when I became more introspective. Personal growth, self-improvement, personal development, and I dialed that shit up to 12. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, but I just did, so bleep that out if I'm not. And here we are 10 years later, and we have an 18-person team and a podcast with 2,000 episodes and 15 departments now that are currently active and a charity, and it's been wild. It's been a wild journey, but I went broke several times on that journey, and we've learned a ton. So that's the quickest I could give you.
That was pretty good.
Oh,
That was pretty
that's
good. That
great.
was,
Yeah.
yeah.
Thanks, man.
Don, my story and Alan's are almost exactly the same, except not even close to the same at all. I was raised by my mom and my grandmother. Didn't know my dad. Didn't meet my dad with the understanding that he was my dad until I was 27. Happy to go into that if we have time. Raised lower middle class. Didn't have a lot of money. often overheard my mom and grandmother talking about how we were going to afford to pay rent. So money for me was something I always thought would fix all my problems, unfortunately. Alan, when he was going away to college, I got a job at the local gas station because I decided this college thing, not for me. I don't want to do this college thing. So for a while, I was the townie gas station attendant. Then I was a personal trainer. Then I cleaned bathrooms and floors at a hospital working overnight. Truck driver, forklift operator. I did tiling. I did construction. On-call firefighter for a very short amount of time. Please do not call me a firefighter. I do not deserve it. And then, Don, somehow I managed to get a job where I went from making $15 an hour doing construction to anywhere from $60 to $120 an hour in this new industry called weatherization. Fast forward a couple of years, my girlfriend's a model. I just competed in a bodybuilding show, so I'm quite literally in the best shape I will ever be in. Good money, good friends, nice car, apartment, all the things. Next year, I end up sitting on the edge of bed contemplating suicide, and I fell in love with adding value to people's lives. I fell in love with raising awareness. And to Alan's point, we've been through mayhem to get here. But my why, at least, is I want to be the type of person that I needed. I mean, I showed up with you, and you and I got right into conversation. It was like, Don is my type of person. I want to be the type of person that Don needs early in his podcast journey. And that is essentially what runs me day to day at this point.
That's a great intro. Thank you, both of you. Yeah, I think all the experience of the 2000 episodes is coming out, I think, in just that first question. So I'm hearing a lot of, as you said, it's the same story, but also entirely opposite stories. So how did you guys first meet, and how did you know that you're going to be compatible enough to create this empire that you have now?
I still don't know if we are fully compatible. No, I'm kidding. So I remember when I was young, my grandmother dropped me off at Alan's house. Alan and I grew up in the same town. We went to the same elementary, middle, and high school together. So I went to Alan's house when we were probably in middle school, I think, and we were friends. And I remember thinking, and this is why it's like same but different. I remember thinking, this kid is spoiled. Like, you pull up to this cabin on the lake, he's got Dreamcast and this and this. It's like, whoa, I don't have this at home. I got to make friends with this dude. So yeah, we were friends for a while when we were younger. Then high school happened and I was a jock. And Alan was focused on school, we'll say. Focused on getting good grades, focused on preparing for college.
You can call me a nerd. It's all good.
I know, because I think that's that has a negative connotation. Look, it worked out just fine, right? It worked out.
Hey,
it worked
the
out
nerds
fine.
Know the way.
The nerds Man. Know the way. Nerds so
there's a lot of diplomas in the background on Alan for everybody.
Yeah, Alan, Alan has a lot of awards, as he says.
Many awards.
Many awards.
Many leather-bound books. Yeah.
Many awards. But we didn't really get along in high school because, you know, ego, and we're in different groups, and Alan thought he could beat me at football. And it's like, brother, I don't know what you think this is. So we ended up reconnecting. We went to a party for with a mutual friend. And at the time, Alan had left his job, and it just looked like he was living the dream, Don. He was doing videos on the beach all the time. He was in really good shape. He had a beautiful girlfriend. And I remember him and I started connecting, and then we started having deep talks. And then it was like, this guy's on to something. Like, he's smarter than I am. I need to spend more time with him. So we would have really deep conversations around philosophy and self-improvement and all that. Then he ended up becoming my mentor. And then he had me on his YouTube channel. At the end, I said, if you could do that for a living, this would be the best freaking life of all time. We had another friend there who said, you can, there's people who do it. I was off to the races. He was the first guest I had on my podcast. Then when I had my suicidal ideation, he's the person I reached out to. And I ended up leaving my job, I don't know, 3 months later. Then it was like, hey, we're going to do this together, right? Like, we're going to, at that point, he was already on the podcast all the time. And yeah, I don't.
Crazy to look back on.
It's so crazy to look back on. I'll say this. I think for the first couple years, we've been doing this together for 8 years. I would say for the first 2 years, I was trying to be Alan. For the second 2 years, I was trying to be who I thought Alan wanted me to be. For the next 2 years, I would say I was trying to be who I thought I wanted me to be, and now I'm trying to be the person that I know I'm supposed to be.
That's
And
quite a transformation there. Can I jump in for a question
please,
for Alan
Don,
at that
yeah,
point right there?
please.
Yeah, Alan, how do you, I'm sure you picked up on that, like the transitions of Kevin wanting to be you or what he thought you wanted him to be or all of those dynamics. So how did that impact how you guys reacted or were interacting with each other?
Well, when it came to the success and the discipline and the conscientiousness and the consistency and the compound effect and reverse engineering finish lines and goals and dreams, I feel like that stuff was always pretty, came very naturally to me. The part that didn't come naturally is any of that stuff that he just described. Like in hindsight, that's all obvious. Like him saying it now, that makes a lot of sense. And we've obviously talked about it 1,000 times behind the scenes. But I think in the beginning, I think I unconsciously, this is the way that I would describe it. Kev was trying to be more like me, whether he was conscious of it or not, because I think he thought that that's what he had to do to be successful. And to some extent, that's true. Like, you needed more discipline. You needed to track habits. You needed to be, conscientious and all that stuff. You need to get more organized. Let's be real.
Still, to this day.
To this day, yeah. But you still need to stay Kevin. And what we now realize is Kevin is a likable, relatable people person. He gets it. He gets why a lot of people, like statistically, most people don't achieve their goals. There's only 3% of people. I did a deep research ChatGPT of this literally 4 days ago. And because I did a Toastmasters speech and I was prepping for it, 3% of people have clear written goals, according to this research. 13% of them, no, yeah, 13% of them have sort of goals that aren't written down that they kind of achieve. And then 84% of people don't have any clear written goals and don't ever achieve them. And for me, when I hear stats like that, I can't even fathom that because, yes, we joke about my awards, but I, even since when I was a kid, I was always goal oriented. Everything was metrics, everything was tracked. I was a big Halo player back in the day. I was one of the top Halo players in the world. And I looked at my stats. I went to Bungie.net every night and saw, okay, I'm 20th in the world. Let's try to get to number one. And I was always this really weird, esoteric guy who always had reverse engineered finish lines. So in the beginning, I think Kev was trying to be like me because he wanted to be successful and he felt like a loser a lot of his life. And I was trying to be like him because I feel very unlikable and I don't feel like a lot of people. I'm not relatable or likable. I would just say that. I'm not an easily likable person. And again, a lot of people try to save me from that. Like, no, I like you. It's like, listen, I know you want to like me. It's okay. Like, I'm not normal. It's okay. I was building my first computer when I was 11. I was arguing who was smarter, Bill Gates or Steve Jobs. Like, I'm a weirdo. It's okay to be a weirdo. I'm owning it. And so I think unconsciously we both were trying to be like each other. And then we realized that's never going to work. Because when I felt the most likable, I didn't like myself. And when Kev felt the most lined up with success, he didn't feel like himself. And so I felt like I had to be different in order to win in relationships. He felt like he had to be different to win in success and achievement. And the truth is, excuse me, we all need to find, this is what we say. We say self-awareness first, self-acceptance second, self-improvement third. Self-awareness first means, are you introverted or extroverted? Are you naturally humble, or are you naturally a super achiever who believes in themselves a ton who doesn't work on humility as much? Are you a math thinker and strategic, or are you emotional? Like, that's just self-awareness, which neither one of us had a ton of that early in life. A lot of men struggle with self-awareness, especially when they're young, just trying to figure it out. Self-acceptance is, okay, I'm not that likable. I'm never gonna be that likable. I'm this esoteric weirdo super achiever guy who, like, came from nothing but tracks every metric and knows how many coaching sessions he's done. And the next one is self-improvement, which is, okay, just because I'm an extrovert doesn't mean I can't learn how to track metrics. Just because I'm an introvert doesn't mean I can't learn how to talk to people and communicate more effectively. But I have to do it from my essence. I have to do it from who I actually am and what I'm naturally good at. So Kevin and I have learned over the years, it is yin and yang to your point. He's really good at certain things. And I'm really good at certain things. And me trying to be as relatable as him is a fucking mistake. And him trying to be as smart as me is also a mistake, but it doesn't mean I can't be more effective at communication and he can't be smarter, right? So I
That was
think
my
all of it
next
comes.
question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. In terms of how do you, so you accept the self, and then you also are allowed to have goals that are improving the self as well. So how do you draw the boundary between having self-acceptance, but also allowing yourself to want to change as well in certain ways? Maybe Kevin could do that one.
Yeah, nice.
I mean, I think one, it's an understanding of does this line up with the type of person that I want to be in the future? Does this line up with the type of lifestyle I want to live? One of the hard things for me, I brought this up to Alan recently. I said, "Hey, brother, in the future, I'd love to have a YouTube channel just about cars. I love cars. I've always loved cars. Am I a wrench spinner? Do I know what I'm doing? Absolutely not. I will mess this up royally, but I like driving them and I like when they make noise and I like when they go fast and that's good enough for me." And I said, I really would like to have a YouTube channel about that one day. And I said, here's the thing. I promise it will help the rest of the mission because I am the relatable guy. And I guarantee I can drop some next level hyper consciousness when I'm driving around in a nice car. People aren't going to know that I'm trying to teach personal development. They're not going to know. They're going to think it's just about the car. So that is an example of that is who I am. How do I align that with the momentum? How do I align that with my purpose? How do I align that with what we're doing? Core values, core beliefs, core aspirations, all of that. I'm a huge fan of mixed martial arts. I love mixed martial arts. Huge fan. Do I know that I'm losing momentum by watching 7 hours of UFC on a Saturday? Yeah. But I would rather be a little bit less successful and a lot more fulfilled. And I think that's where it gets really hard is what's great for success is not always great for fulfillment. And you figuring out, okay, what level of success do I want? What am I willing to trade for it? What am I willing to sacrifice? I think one of the things, Don, that we've realized over the last 8 years is most people think they want a result. But the vast majority of humans are not willing to do the process long enough to get the result. So that result does not serve you. That is not the result you should aim for. You should aim for a result where you're actually willing to go through the process. So I think the simplest answer would be trying to find a way to make the process livable while aspiring to a future that you really, really desire.
What are some of the common mistakes that people make in trying to live that process that makes it more difficult?
Go ahead,
What
Jeff.
Kev already mentioned of everyone wants a mansion on the beach, and that's okay. I do too, right? And I intend on it, and I know that that comes off pretentious and arrogant, but I'm not just saying it like I want it. I actually have reverse engineered the exact finances to make that happen. I've set up the runway, and no one's going to be shocked when the plane takes off when you have an exact runway, right? So, but what Kevin has helped me understand over the years is that other people are saying they want that, and then they like go to the beach. And for me, I always saw that, and it's like you say you want this, but then you do this. And this has nothing to do with getting this result. So the mistake that people make is they set a result without understanding what's beneath that iceberg that's necessary to achieve it. So you mentioned in the preamble, the pre-chat before we hit record, you said, well, how do you have two podcasts? I actually am about to start my third. It's like, well, how do you do it all, right? And I playfully joked. I said, "Kevin and I have no friends," and he's like, "No, but seriously." And what I mean by that is that the necessary sacrifices for success. Of course, everyone wants a beautiful home and a beautiful car, and we have an 18-person team and all that stuff. But like, having an 18-person team is unbelievable. But learning how to be a leader and payroll is atrociously bad. It's like really, really bad. And I'm not even convinced everyone should do that. It's really not easy. Like, and so the piece that I would share, and I think that this is for anyone who is listening, I'm not saying not to chase your dreams. I'm saying to make sure your dreams are aligned with the person you want to be, to Kevin's point, and the process necessary to achieve them. The problem is the process necessary to achieve it usually unfolds as you go. So you don't realize until you're too far in that this is like not at all the quality of life that I actually want. I don't want to take days off. I genuinely don't. So I haven't taken a full day off in 10 years. Some days it's an hour a day, and some days it's 16-hour, 18-hour days. Mostly somewhere in the middle, right? But I don't really want to take days off. I like working really hard. I like maximizing and optimizing, and I like putting it all on the court, and I like trying to reach my potential. That's not the life everyone should want to live. If that is the life you want to live, reach out to me. I got you. Let's rock and roll. If it's not, don't be upset when I have a mansion and you don't, because ultimately what you're not seeing is all the crap that I had to sacrifice early on in order to make that happen. And there is a huge exception to this, which is people lying on the internet and people with generational wealth. Like, I have a lot of young people that I coach, and one of them drives a $75,000 Porsche, but her dad bought it, right? But no one knows that. So she's on social media popping bottles with models and high rises and Porsches, but none of it was actually built by her. And no one knows that, unfortunately. So it looks like a lot of people are a lot more successful than they really are. And so, unfortunately, we are often very misled about what it really takes to succeed.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like just the general social media trend in general that nobody's posting stuff that they don't want people to see about them. That's only a small tangent part of it, though. Kevin, maybe a question about so we've got this process and result are these two kind of maybe ends of it. And I would say maybe success, like success in quotes, is kind of a combination of the right ratio of each of those two. So what kind of experiences have you been through that have really helped you define what that success is for you and how you define it today?
Achieving what I thought was, so when I was 26, 27, I was way more successful than I ever thought I would be. Just how did I get here? I used to have checks that I just didn't cash because I didn't have time and it didn't matter. It's like, yeah, I'll cash that when I have time. It's all good. Then realizing
Reckless.
I was reckless. It sounds good now. If you have cash, if you have checks, cash them, put them in the bank.
Yeah.
It's
Oh,
good.
yeah.
Maybe
Good. Throw them in the
invest
bank.
them. Yeah,
Instead
invest
of
them.
having money just sit there on your counter,
Yeah, it's
it's all
like,
good.
oh yeah, I forgot about that one. But it sounds really good, right? Externally, I was crushing it. Internally, I was miserable. Success now is more about fulfillment. And I would say the way that I have learned that, when I left my job, I ended up moving in with one of my other best friend. I was paying $500 a month. Him and I lived together. He was chasing real estate investments. I was chasing this podcast thing. It was awesome. It was just such a unique time in my life. I remember one day I woke up and he left for the day, and I was walking around the kitchen. And I remember thinking, I'm the brokest I've ever been. I mean, I am broke, broker than you can be, like in the negative bad. I have zero prospects of love. I'm as single as a man could possibly be. Nobody cares about this podcast thing. This is a joke. But I've never been more proud of what I'm doing. And if this feeling is fulfillment, I love it and I don't ever want to lose sight of it. Now it's the understanding of I do want nice things. I do want financial freedom. I want to be jacked. Let me live my life. And I also want to make sure that I'm fulfilled, and I want to make sure that I'm growing and contributing towards something that's far beyond me. And I think that's really important. I can't imagine that I would be super happy if I just did this podcast forever and I never made a dollar again. I'm being very honest about that. My lifestyle would suffer and it would suck. It wouldn't be as good. But I also can't imagine doing a podcast where somebody just gave me $1 million a day to talk about dumb stuff that I didn't believe in. I can't imagine that would be fulfilling. How do we combine the both of those? I think that's what success is, and it's based on the fact that I had what everybody told me would make me successful, but I never felt it. And I felt far more successful internally when I was broker than I'd ever been. So there has to be some sort of lesson there for me.
So to zoom in a little bit on the podcast aspect of this, and I'm hearing more and more podcasts you guys have all either been on or been starting and everything, as well as the next level university part. And we talk about this a little bit in the pre-chat also. But what is your process for creating all this content, so that you are able to publish every day? Do you record every day, or do you have some saved up you post over the week? How is that working? Yeah, I guess this kind of ties into Alan working every day sort of thing as well. But yeah, what does that look like? And also having an 18-person team, that's very interesting.
Yeah, I actually think it might be 19 now. One of our team members' brother is now doing our thumbnails, which is cool. So it grows. I'll take a crack at that. So How did we do an episode a day? How do we do an episode a day? So the first
I
thing
think
that I
that's the
would.
main question. Yeah, how do you do an episode a day? It's a lot of churnout.
Okay, that's what I got from what you had asked. I hope that that was what you. It sounds like it is aligned with what you're asking. So in 20 minutes and 35 seconds, Kevin and I are going to record three episodes. So that's the first part of the answer. Meaning, when he goes away or I go away, I'm going to be going on a road trip in Q2, so probably next month. And we're going to have to batch. So we're going to have to do probably 14 episodes when I go away because I'm not going to record from the car. And so a lot of it is that, but a lot of it is, and this is something that I think will be of value for anyone who does want a great content. Kevin and I have tried to find this sweet spot. We can't stand, like, hey, you know, on April 12th, Kev, you and I are going to talk about consistency. We can't stand that. Dude, we jump on right after this in 20 minutes. We're going to jump on. We're going to be in StreamYard. And we're going to say, okay, what are the three episodes? And we're going to try to merge what people need to hear with what people want to hear with what we actually are feeling like talking about in the moment. Because if you're overly structured, you lose the creativity and the passion. If you're understructured, you're going to go off the rails. You won't be consistent and you can't win. So I think a lot of back to the success and fulfillment that Kevin talked about, you have to be structured enough to where you're actually dialed in and consistent, but you can't be so structured that you are never fulfilled along the way. So it's the silence between the notes that makes the music is a quote that I kind of like. So how do we do it? Number one, we started with one a week, and then we jumped to two, and then it was three, and then it was four, and then, well, I think we jumped from three to five, and then five to seven. But we couldn't do that unless we had a production team as well. So as of right now, Kevin and I, Next Level University, the company, currently, I tracked this earlier, we work with 104 podcasters and business owners, paying clients. And we produce their shows. I coach. I do business. He does podcasting. So we have three things. We have Next Level University, Podcast Growth University, and I'm starting Business Growth University. So it's level up yourself, level up your podcast, level up your business. We call them listeners, longers, and business owners. Listeners learn from us. Longers want to build their own podcasts, their own podcast communities like yourself. Business owners need to generate revenue or they're screwed. That was us as well in the past, right? So we've been each of those. We've been listeners, longers, and business owners. So we know the journey and we know how brutal it is, despite what the internet wants to tell you. And we can help you and we can help you accelerate. We're not going to help you skip steps, but we are going to help you learn what we wish we knew. Because if we were to, you could take everything away from Kevin and I. Take the clothes off our back, take this home away, take where he lives, take his car, take it all away. And we could build this back up because we know how to do it and we have the skills. Okay. And we'd have to go get the resources because you'd take our resources. We couldn't do it in 2 days, but it definitely wouldn't take 8 fucking years like this has, because we didn't know what the hell we were doing in the beginning. So that's the value of mentorship and coaching is I'm not going to help you skip steps, but I can help you accelerate faster than, and because I know more than you do, because I've been through it, right? And so that's the value of mentorship and coaches. And to go back to the original question that you had asked, I think that it's a progression that just started small and we just never stopped. We never ever lost sight of the main thing. We
That is
never,
impressive.
yeah, thank you, brother. I
Yeah,
appreciate it. The main thing is the main thing, and it stayed to this day. Next Level University, we never miss an episode. We never have. And we never intend on it. And it's easy to say that. It's really hard to actually do that.
I can imagine. Yeah, so Kevin, do you ever have worries of running out of stuff to talk about? Because I'd imagine that there are a lot of themes
Oh, yeah.
that repeat and come up, and the thing that pops in my head is also, this idea of the way you learn something is by repeating it. And so it's not necessarily a bad thing to repeat something. But so how do you keep coming up with episodes that are unique in their own way without getting stale?
You don't. We've probably done the same 400 episodes 5 times each at this point. No. So usually it's changed a lot. It's changed a lot. I used to be the guy who I would come on Monday and Alan and I would record 7 episodes on Monday. We would try to record seven. We almost never did. But I would have a list of like one, two, these are the episodes. These are my suggestions. And it always comes from personal experience. So I think there's two different types of content creators. There's more than two, but Alan has a lesson. He wants to bring a lesson. And I say, what's your story? I come with a story. And then I try to find the lesson. So just as an example, the other night, it's been a weird growth journey. We're in a growth season thing. It's wild. There's so many things that are happening that we've been waiting so long to happen. It's weird. When that happens, I try to ground myself. Kev, don't get too big for your britches, because you'll lose this whole thing and we'll drive this off into the canyon. So I was watching our old episodes on YouTube. And I went back and watched episode 1000, where Alan and I are bawling our eyes out. I'm saying, I love you, man. I couldn't have done it without it. We're just crying. Then I went back and watched old episodes, and I was like, God, I sucked. 900 episodes in, Don, I sucked compared to 2000 episodes in. Not compared to 800, not compared to 700, not compared to 600, compared to 2000. And I said, I want to do an episode on that. Let's talk about why it almost never feels like you're growing, because by the time you grow into your new skin, you're so used to it already. It fits. It's that became the
That was what you
episode.
guys said today, right? I think I just
That
looked at
was
that one.
the episode that dropped today. That came
Yes,
from me taking an edible and watching our old YouTube content and saying that would be a really cool episode, and we have something to lock it into. So we have swung all. I mean, we at one point we were talking to business owners and then entrepreneurs and then dream chasers. Now we're talking more about success. We're always trying to figure out who are we talking to Alan's point. What do we want to talk about? And the most important thing is, who are we? We've evolved and changed so much over the 2040 something episodes. The podcast has to change. So I start with a story and connect it to a lesson. Alan starts with a lesson and connects it to a story. So as long as I'm experiencing life with the intention of finding bright spots and dark spots to bring to the audience, I'm not worried about running out of content. When I do worry, though, is weeks like I've had this week, where I have just grinded all week, and the only time I see the outdoors is when I go to the gym in the morning. There's not, my wife and I didn't have a date night. Like, there hasn't been a lot happening. That's the only time I worry, just because that's it directly affects my process, right? So naturally, it's a little bit nerve-wracking, but we always find something. I'm not worried we're ever really going to run out. We'll figure it out.
I just connected this in real time, Kev, the times when you are grinding and you don't have maybe a certain bright spot or dark spot from your own experience, I'm always ready to teach something. Like
You
I
are.
feel like I'm more of an educator and he's more of an experiential learner. He's more emotional and I'm more logical. I'm more theory and he's more practice, right? So we have the yin and yang in that. And the thing is, don't ever tell a story without a point, and don't ever have a point without a story. That's kind of the thing here. And we could talk effective communication all day. Metaphors are big. Storytelling is huge. You have to have examples that are tangible. You actually said this to us. You said, I don't want this to be all theory. I want this to be practical. So we both have kept that in mind here. But ultimately, is the intention to help people in a certain specific way? It has to be specific enough to be meaningful, but broad enough to be interesting. Everything, I get why life is so damn hard, dude. Everything is a balance between two extremes. You have to work really hard and you have to work smart. You have to be really funny and relatable, and you have to also be super intelligent and never miss. Like, it is fucking brutal. I don't know if I'm supposed to swear, so you're gonna have to keep editing this out. I'm
You
sorry.
got it, man. Keep it going. Oh,
Okay.
you're fine.
All
No
right. I
worries.
appreciate you. It is so hard to be successful and fulfilled. It's so hard, because what the economy pays for is not fulfilling stuff, usually. Very rarely is the most meaningful work actually what the economy pays for. Very rarely. And there's certain industries where that's the case. Oh, I would love to be a professional athlete. Yeah, well, so would everyone else. Good luck. There's a percentage of 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 people that actually get to do that for a living, and the injuries and the risk and all the kinds of stuff, and they can get cut like that, right? So at the end of the day, I do get it. The top of the mountain in life is being both externally successful and internally fulfilled, and that's a mountain that gets higher as you climb it. And it's a constant process of learning yourself and learning the world, learning how you work and learning how it works, and then merging the two. Most people only know one. I knew how the world worked. I knew the global economy and science, technology, engineering, mathematics, business, and finance. I knew all that. That all came easy, but I didn't know myself. Kevin knew himself, but he didn't know shit about how the world worked with all the love. He didn't. He didn't understand. Right. At one point, he's like, why would we read books? That's dumb. It's like, dude, that's got to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It was right up there. But if I had read books, I wouldn't have thought that, but I had read the books, yeah.
So if I can
Yeah,
give that nugget, yeah.
balance of the inner world and the outer world. There's one thing I wanted to say that I really resonate with that. Don't tell a story without a point, and don't have a point without a story. In my program, we've been talking about how to give effective presentations and use data so that I believe you, and use a story so that I care. And so that's kind of like
Nice.
having the two of those together feels like sort of what you guys were just talking
That's
about.
fire. That was really good.
In the interest of time, I want to just sidestep to one other question. I'm curious about some young entrepreneur type of guys. What do you believe are going to be the most important ways that AI is going to impact society?
Oh, geez. I'm gonna see myself out. I'll come back in a couple of minutes. I have something real quick. I think it will become, unfortunately, the foundation on what a lot of people build their skill set on, and they will not improve. So I'm working with a lot of people who just use AI for everything, and they're not developing the skills. Like, yeah, you can have it write your scripts, and you can have it title your episodes, and you can have it write questions for guests. You're not getting better. So in the short run, I think those people think they're getting a head start. In the long run, Alan taught me this, so he'll be happy to hear this. Ready, Alan?
Yes,
S
sir.
skills monetize forever, Don. Skills monetize forever. So I think there's a lot of people that think they're off to a head start when in reality, you are digging a hole if you are using it less of a crutch. If it is everything to you and you need it to succeed, the playing field is going to get leveled pretty quickly. But if you can use it to accelerate and compound and multiply, I think you're probably in the right bucket.
Nice.
Not bad,
Yeah.
right?
Not bad. Tool versus crutch. That's exactly. Is it a tool to help you improve? I have one client who uses it all the time, and he's constantly asking it questions, and he's improving with it, but he's still doing the work himself too. So, how do I think AI is going to affect the future? All right. So, if you, my answer is a little different than Kev's. If you look at history. And you look at the history of technological innovation. The internet was the biggest accelerator of all progress. Ever since we had the very first oxen with a plow, we were able to feed more people for less effort. So people hate on technology. I want self-driving cars. I will be the first one to buy a walking, talking robot in my home. Like I worked for iRobot in my early 20s, and iRobot is a consumer robotics company. They also do government contracts and all kinds of stuff. But I was on the global product management team, the Roomba. Most people know the Roomba. The Roomba is a vacuum that vacuums for you. I'm a little alarmed at how long it's taking, and I think I now understand why. I have a self-driving car. But the reason why it's taking so long is I think people are freaked out. People are freaked out by AI. They're freaked out by robotics. I think they're afraid that their jobs will be taken. And the truth is, they will be if you're not improving. So I worked in industrial automation. I worked for a company called Cognex. We sold industrial automation equipment into manufacturing facilities all across the world. And I managed Vermont, Connecticut, and Western Massachusetts. GE was one of my big customers. I can't really say anymore legally. At the end of the day, I was in my early 20s. I was making a lot of money selling some really sophisticated equipment, measuring things down to the micron. Technology will take your job if you are not improving. It's a fact. That will happen no matter what. I actually used to sell equipment and make very big commission checks and have people lose their jobs because of it. And I used to say, well, this is really unfulfilling because these people need jobs. And I used to see pictures on the walls of all these manufacturing facilities, picture big companies, okay? And I would see thousands of workers in these big manufacturing facilities, like, 20,000 square feet, this whole thing. And now there's one factory manager that I'm selling equipment to. And it's all robotics. So all those jobs are gone. And that's happening exponentially. So what happens when and again, do not villainize me for this, and I'll get off the soapbox in a second. But this is why I started a new path. It's called Alan Lazarus LLC, what you'll never learn in school but desperately need to know. That was the company I started before Kevin and I got together 10 years ago, after my car accident. What happens when the less educated population has more kids and has them younger and grows exponentially faster than the educated population? Statistically, don't villainize me for this, statistically. And what happens when the jobs needed for those people exponentially decrease? So picture jobs, picture the population of the less educated exponentially increasing with the jobs available to them exponentially decreasing. There's an inflection point there of Uh-oh. There are a lot of people in a lot of trouble. We have someone, I'm not going to name his name because I want to keep it anonymous, but there's someone I know who recently said, oh, I don't even have a computer, and he was bragging about it. And I went to Kevin behind the scenes and I said, dude, he is fucked. His job's gone and he doesn't know it. If you don't have computer skills in the 21st century, you're in serious trouble. I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm saying this because I care. You need to learn computers. You need to. I'm a computer engineer. I get I'm biased. But if you don't have a computer and you're bragging about it, that is something to shift immediately because his future does not look bright. And so AI is going to change everything. Computers are going to change everything. That's never going to stop. It's a good thing. We all get to have a higher quality of life overall statistically because of technology. No one wants to go back. And yes, there's implications and all that, but it's going to change everything, brother. And the only thing I would say to people is listen, educate yourself ASAP, Rocky. Now, learn every day, improve every second of every day, because otherwise you will be automated.
Before the robots replace all the jobs, it will be people who know how to use AI who will replace the people who don't know how to use AI.
100%.
I liked what Kevin said earlier about the determining which tasks to use AI on and which ones not to, because I was experimenting a little bit with that on helping me with this podcast a little bit in terms of, and you mentioned like the writing questions part, and I had to try to brainstorm some questions, and I did it for one or two episodes, and I was like, I just don't feel any connection with the questions, and like it
Good
doesn't feel
man.
like
Nice.
it's really working. So yeah, we avoiding intellectual complacency, I think, is like one of the biggest things out of the, all that. Yeah.
You
Okay.
can't,
Yeah, pay for that.
if you just use it to make life easier at the expense of getting better, I think that's when it's super dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, I'm out
Yeah.
here formulating episode titles and I know what works and what doesn't. I know better than ChatGPT does with my audience. I have the data. They don't, right? I know better. I just do. When it comes to a lot of other things, I do not know better. I don't. But with our audience, I'm convinced I do.
Yeah, and knowing which tasks are the right ones for that is the
100%.
important part.
100%. Real quick, one last thing. I say this to Kevin, I'm playful with it, but I say I could lop off an arm, lop off a leg. He's still Kevin Palmieri. His brain. That's what we don't realize. Brain, the brain is the unsung hero. The brain. Your brain needs to be a supercomputer. It needs to be. When we first got together, Kevin and I, he couldn't hang in these intellectual conversations for as long as I could. We had mentors, multimillionaires, one billionaire. And he's like, dude, how do you go all day like this? I said, brother, it's like, I wish we could see people's minds. We see people's physiques and we see the obesity crisis and all that happening. I wish we could see people's brains. Your brain is the strategic advantage. And if anyone out there is watching or listening, you're afraid of AI and robotics, you don't have to be if you're improving your brain every single day.
That's really great. Yeah, maybe one last thing to use your brain in as we're closing up here. What's maybe one piece of advice that is important to each of you that could be kind of our closing
Oh,
closing bit?
you want me to go first, sir? Yes.
Here we
I'm just
go.
thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us have been lied to, and we've been lied to terribly. Anybody out there who tells you that if your goals don't scare you, they're not big enough is lying to you. I think if our goals scare us, we run in the opposite direction. I think we want to run towards our goals, unless you have 12 out of 10 self-belief like Alan does. Alan's goals should scare him because he's just going to keep going and bashing his head against the wall forever. That's who he is. But I think the vast majority of people that are giving advice don't understand who they're giving advice to. So just make sure if you resonate more with me than Alan, there's something in that. If you resonate more with Alan than you resonate with me, there's something in that. I have something of value to teach you, just not what you want, probably. And Alan has a lot of value to teach you that you just probably don't want. And there's something beautiful to that. And I think we're an example of that. So be open-minded to learning and where your learnings come from to tag on to what you said in the very beginning here, Don.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, one thing to comment on that. I really had not gotten the impression before this conversation about just sort of how polar you guys are in terms of like being in two different spots, but also still creating this really amazing thing. And in that distance between those, you encompass a lot of things. And I think that's what allows you to be so effective at that.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Don. Well said. Yeah, I think life's a spectrum and we call it the drive to five. People don't know what peak performance is, but it's a max. So on a graph, you have a max, it's an upside down horseshoe. And the max, everyone knows the max and the min. The max is a point too much and too little. You put the nachos in for 3 minutes, they burn. You put them in for only 30 seconds, the cheese isn't melted. There's an optimal stopping problem for everything with everyone, but context matters, the individual matters, the goal matters. If each of us three, set a new goal, immediately everything we do and don't do has to shift toward that goal. And so the medicine you try to give to one patient kills another. And that's why the internet is so wonky. It's very hard. And that's why podcasts are so hard for me. I can't give you advice unless I know your context, your circumstance. One last thing. I had a client once who was in a lot more debt than she told me. Kevin found out through the grapevine she's in a lot of debt. And he told me, and I said, every piece of advice I've given her is wrong then. If you're in $90,000 worth of debt, and I didn't know it as your coach, every piece of advice needs to shift. You shouldn't make the same choices, 90 grand in debt is debt free. That's two completely different circumstances, right? So circumstance and context matters so much. Kev had very low self-belief and high humility. I had high self-belief and low humility. You need both. Two guesses which one I have to work on, right? So the advice you give to one person is garbage for someone else. And that's what I would end with, is make sure you're very, very, very careful about who you listen to and who you surround yourself with. If I could go back in time, I'd punch myself right in the face and I'd say, Alan, stop hanging out with these people. Like, you need to leave these people behind now. They are entitled, they are toxic, and they don't want to see you succeed. And I know that you love them, and I know that you want to believe they love you. But the truth is, they are insecure. They're scared of you outgrowing them. They're scared to be found out that they don't know anything. And they're not good for you. They're not good for you. And so I think some people struggle with success and achievement. And I think other people struggle with relationships. I struggled with relationships. So if you're on my end of it, you probably have people in your life that you want to know that they want to see you win, but they don't. Unconsciously, they're deeply insecure and afraid. And if you're on Kevin's end, you really need to learn organization and prudence and diligence and work ethic. And you need to study Brian Tracy. He's boring as shit, but his stuff is sound.
That's a great spot to wrap up. This has been really great. Yeah, this has been my first two person podcast at the same time. So this has
You picked a real humdinger, Don. And again, I don't know if we're done recording or not, but I'm telling you right now, this experience is going to be a podcast episode. So I'm already scheming in my mind about how to turn this into one of our episodes that we're recording today. So you've made the cut, brother. I know that's not what you were trying to do, but you have made it, if it matters.
Just in case Beautiful. You wanted to know, you have Kevin's stamp of approval.
Yes. Exactly what you need on a Friday, right?
Beautiful, man. Yeah, a nice little boost for the weekend coming up. Man, well, thank you guys so much. This has been a really great dinner. I really enjoy the banter that you guys have, but it just exudes off of you. So I think this is really adds to the concrete kind of stuff you're saying as well. So yeah, thank you guys so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, seriously, thank you. It was an honor, my friend. It was an honor.